This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B, driven by data, enabled by technology, powered by creativity. We can help connect you with the right audience at the right place and the right time. Learn more at MerkleB2B.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, February 1st. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. On this show, we talk a lot about the impact of social media on young people. But today, we're going to focus on a different group, the moms. The pandemic has left a lot of us feeling lonely, but Generation X moms, roughly 41 to 57 years old, are feeling it more than most. On today's show, we'll hear how social media has changed from a place for them to connect to one fueling fears that they're missing out. And the Wall Street Journal's family and tech columnist Julie Jargon will join us to talk about why this group of women has been hit so hard by these feelings. That's after these headlines. Sony says it plans to buy video game developer Bungie, the creator of the Destiny and Halo franchises, in a deal valued at $3.6 billion. The deal could give Sony's PlayStation more games exclusive to its console, but that will not include access to Halo. That game was created when Bungie was owned by Sony's rival, Microsoft, and the Xbox maker kept the intellectual property rights to Halo when it split off Bungie in 2007. The deal comes on the heels of Microsoft's own announcement last month that it plans to buy video game giant Activision Blizzard, the publisher of World of Warcraft and Candy Crush games. Microsoft said that deal will make it the world's third largest gaming company by revenue, behind Sony and Chinese gaming giant Tencent. Cloud computing company Citrix is being taken private in an all-cash deal valued at $16.5 billion, including debt. Citrix makes software that gives users remote access to their computers and provides other cloud services. The two buyers, Vista Equity Partners and Evergreen Coast Capital, plan to combine Citrix with TIBCO Software, a company in Vista's portfolio that provides data management software. The company said Monday that the new business would have 400,000 customers and 100 million users in 100 countries. And streaming companies are having a hard time keeping new subscribers. New data shows streaming platforms like Disney Plus, HBO Max, and Apple TV saw a jump in new users after launching hotly anticipated shows or movies like Hamilton, Wonder Woman 1984, and Greyhound, respectively. But according to data from subscriber measurement company Antenna, exclusively provided to the Wall Street Journal, many new subscribers left after just a few months. WSJ reporter Benjamin Mullins says streaming services are spending a lot to keep viewers around.
These services give users the opportunity to subscribe on a monthly basis, or at least most of them do. So every month, a lot of these subscribers have the opportunity to take their money elsewhere and subscribe to a competitor. The other thing is that movies, things that you can consume in one sitting, it's a lot easier to unsubscribe after you watch one of those films. Episodic content, shows like HBO's Succession, Hulu's Handmaid's Tale, those kind of like episodic TV shows where there's a serialization and you're more invested in the characters over time, those actually keep people engaged in the service for a longer period. They're less likely to churn if they're watching one of those shows.
All right, coming up, burned out from trying to keep work and family life together, middle-aged moms say social media is adding to their sense of loneliness. We'll discuss why and what can be done after the break.
This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B. Curious to know how Merkle B2B can connect you with the right audience? It's not magic. It's the integration of data, technology, and creativity. Discover more at MerkleB2B.com.
Loneliness and isolation are realities that many of us have had to deal with during the pandemic. And there's been a real spike in this for middle-aged moms, even if they're hardly ever actually alone. A key factor seems to be social media. Our Wall Street Journal family and tech columnist Julie Jargon has been hearing stories from moms experiencing this, and she joins me now. Thanks for coming on the show, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
How has the pandemic affected middle-aged moms' sense of loneliness?
Yeah, I think before the pandemic, there was a lot of research done and talk about men being lonely. There was also a lot of talk about just a broader loneliness epidemic. And in terms of generational loneliness, millennials were kind of scoring high on the loneliness curve. Before the pandemic, middle-aged women weren't kind of a group that was considered all that lonely. But during the lockdown, Generation X women, who range in age from 41 to 57 years old, reported the sharpest rise in loneliness, according to a survey that was done in the spring of 2020. And there was also a significant increase in loneliness reported by women of that generation who were living with children.
So why did we see this sharp change?
I think there are a few things happening that were part of the pandemic. One was that women of this age who are just, you know, have always been struggling to maintain family life. Sometimes they're members of the sandwich generation, which they're caring for children, but also caring for aging parents, and oftentimes working at the same time. But I think the pandemic really exacerbated that situation for women in this age group because they were living in lockdown for a large part. And even after the lockdown phase of the pandemic passed, they, I think, felt the weight of the pandemic, you know, keeping their kids happy and educating their kids during remote school and maybe caring for aging parents who were also feeling lonely. It was just a lot of weight on the women of this age group in particular. And I think women in this age group were also turning to social media to find like-minded women who were going through the same things. As we saw with children spending a lot of time online during the pandemic, moms were spending a lot of time online during the pandemic. But for some women, social media sometimes made them feel more lonely.
We spoke with one woman, Miranda Reinhardt. She's a 38-year-old mom of three from Colorado. She's been using social media for the last decade, Instagram for work as a photographer, and Facebook to stay connected with friends. I asked her if she felt like social media had lived up to its promise to keep her connected.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it's a little bit of yes and a little bit of no. So in a lot of ways, yes, because you have that connection to people that you probably would not otherwise have. I mean, how many of us are going to take the time to write a letter to somebody that we knew in high school 20 years ago? It's probably not going to happen. So we still see those people and we're connected to them, but we're not really part of their lives. We have separate lives. We're kind of on the outside looking in on each other's lives. And so in that way, I think a lot of the relationships are kind of, you know, just surface level, and they don't really have the chance to grow deeper than that. Just based on the medium, I think really it's kind of hard to have that when it's just a few sentences here and there, or a few pictures here and there, and you just give a quick like, and then you move on about your day. So I think it's a little bit of both. And I think for a lot of people, it's probably that way too. It's nice to still see people and still feel connected to them, but it's not as deep as we would like in a lot of ways.
Do you ever have a FOMO, the fear of missing out, when you're seeing some of these posts on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, even just following like mom bloggers and things like that, I remember there was one who posted a few weeks ago about a trip she'd taken with her girlfriends. And I was like, wow, how did she find that? And she was like, well, we've been friends since junior high. It's like, I don't have junior high friends anymore. We moved a lot when I was a kid. And so absolutely, there's some of that. I see people out and about doing things and I'm like, hey, I want to do that too. I want to go with you. But in reality, I probably haven't talked to you since we were freshmen. So
how do you think you find deeper connections given where your life is now?
Oh, you know, I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure it out. It's tough. I'm trying to figure out, you know, as my kids need less time, I'm just trying to think and look at, you know, what do I actually enjoy doing, and trying to make it a priority at this point, you know, to meet a friend for coffee and to try to step off of Facebook a little bit and go do something in person, or even to see, you know, what do I want to do by myself? You know, what would I like to do for myself at this point? Because I think once we figure that out as moms, maybe that's when we find our tribe, when we find our group, because we have these interests now and we have time for these interests. as we come into this phase of life, we have to kind of rediscover who we are without being the taxi driver and the laundry washer and everything else. Who are we now?
So Julie, coming back to you, I wonder if there's something different about the way women of Miranda's generation are using social media versus the way millennials or Gen Z, you know, their children, are using social media.
I don't know if it's necessarily that it was a different way in which they were using social media. I think it was maybe more similar than you might expect. I mean, a lot of the moms I spoke to said that they find themselves relating to their teenage daughters more during this time, because just like teens who feel this fear of missing out, they were starting to feel that too. Maybe it was something they could sort of brush aside before the pandemic, or something they didn't think that much about. But during those moments when they felt like all they were doing was working, taking care of their family, there was little time else, you know, to do anything for themselves, it felt particularly stinging when they would see posts of other women getting together and feeling like they were missing out.
You also looked at some tips for how to deal with loneliness. What are those? How do you kind of break this cycle?
Yeah, I think the first step that a lot of friendship coaches and loneliness experts said is just to, you know, don't be afraid to be vulnerable, and that you really need to put yourself out there and ask for friends, which feels uncomfortable. But there are ways to do that, whether it's approaching strangers at the park, other parents, and striking up a conversation, or whether it's doing so virtually. I've heard of a lot of moms lately who have been posting on Facebook pages saying, you know, I am middle-aged, my kids are older, I don't have as many opportunities to meet other moms, and so I'd like to, you know, get together with some other women. So I've seen that happening on Facebook. I've seen that happening on Nextdoor. Just kind of putting yourself out there and saying that you're looking for some friends. And one idea that's been kind of fun, that's been sort of circulating on social media, is going on errand dates with friends. You know, you have to go to the grocery store. Why not, you know, go grocery shopping with your friend at the same time and kind of chat as you're rolling your cart through the aisles. Another good idea that I think can be helpful for a lot of people is to just book time on the calendar. You know, we've all been in this situation where we say, oh, we should get together, and then nothing ever happens. So instead, book some time, put it on your calendar, commit to a date to get together with a friend. That can be a video call, or it can be getting together in person.
I love the idea of errand dates. I want to do that with all of my friends. Double whammy of things.
It's kind of nice too, because it's stuff you have to do anyway. You know, another idea is like, if you, you know, you have to do the laundry, why not, you know, do a phone call with your friend while you're folding the laundry?
Right. We can all get some real connection again. All right. That's our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Thanks so much for talking with us, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.